This is an interesting passage that I want us to give to you all, as some of us are starting a new semester and things like that. This man did something very interesting here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He said, "I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless." In other words, he did what a lot of people, many people feel an emptiness in their hearts. They feel that there's something out there that they haven't experienced yet. They feel that there's something out there that they're missing out on. And they tell themselves, that's because I'm living at home with my parents. When I go to school and I go to college, then finally I'll be able to go out and do the adventures and try out those things. Somebody told me yesterday, I'm from West Coast, but I chose to come to the East Coast because I want to be away. She's from California. And I saw the person go from one... I saw the person trying to go from one event to the another event, seeking excitement, seeking for something that apparently she thinks she couldn't have gotten while she was at home. And so people then go out and they start trying out things, and they pretty much do what this man did. Come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. Many people have told me you need to check things out. You need to find things, you know. How would you know? You will never learn if you don't, like, go out and try to do the stuff that everybody does. How do you know it's not the right thing to do? You might enjoy it, and so on. And people go on like that, and they try. So that's what he did. This proved to be meaningless, though. He said, laughter, I say, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? He said, I tried cheering myself with wine, and that's what some people do on Fridays and Saturdays. He tried getting drunk. He tried making himself happy. He tried partying. And embracing folly. He tried to do some things that he himself agrees are foolish. He said he tried to embrace folly. And I've sat down with people and told them that, isn't this thing that you're doing silly? Isn't it destroying you? And they say, yes, it is. I know that. But it doesn't matter. And so, you have this person going from one thing to another. You try this thing, and then the person tries the other thing, and then the person tries the other thing. You try partying, you try friends. Now, I always find that you can already see that this is not working for him, because when someone says, I tried cheering myself with wine, when you try cheering yourself, when you have to make yourself happy, you know that your life isn't on the right path. Because Jesus Christ is the one that gives joy to the heart. You should not need to cheer yourself. But this is what will happen when you have that desire in your heart, when you have that feeling that there is something out there that my heart is missing, that I need to get, and you try to get it in people, you try to get it in excitements, and you try to get it in movies, and you try to get it in... Keep reading what he's saying here. Now, here's one interesting. He says, embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. Is that possible? How do you embrace folly and your mind is still guiding you with wisdom? It's a contradiction. But that's what I hear people say. They say that, I know what I'm doing. I know. I'm in control. No, they're not. They've just been deceived. They've fallen in the trap. But because they think that because they know that what they're doing may just be empty, they think that they're still wise and that their mind is still guiding them. I sat down with back in June, I sat down with someone, and we were talking about this thing that people call relationships and boyfriend and girlfriend and so on. I told him that these things are so silly. Why do people do it? And she's somebody that's done it a lot. And I say that, you know, the people don't love each other, and you know there's not. And I was shocked. She told me, yes, you're right, it's a waste of time. And I was shocked, and I said, then it's a waste of time, why do you do it? If you know it's meaningless, it's a waste of time, why do you do it? In other words, she's saying, I'm embracing folly, but my wisdom is still with me. I know it's a waste of time, but I'm doing it anyways. He tells you there are two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom when a man, everybody knows when they sin that they're sinning. Everybody knows when they're wasting their time that they're wasting their time. That doesn't mean that you're wise or that you're smart or that you're responsible. What's wisdom and what's foolishness? Wisdom is knowing that there's a hole there, so I will not jump inside. Foolishness is saying, I know there's a hole there, but I'll jump anyways. That's foolishness. It's knowing that drugs is bad for me, but I'll take it anyhow. You think that those who do it don't know that it's bad? They know. I sat down with a guy at my frat, at my fraternity, and I asked him, he's someone that I talk to very openly often. And I saw him one time. He was so drunk, and the next morning they tried to drag him out of the room. He just fell and rolled back the stairs and landed on the ground there, and everybody left him. And he was there breathing so scarily. I was so afraid. In fact, I took all the alcohol that we were on a retreat. After I saw that, I took all the alcohol they brought at the retreat and then emptied it. The next night, everybody was calm and there was no trouble happening. When you take alcohol out of a place, people start behaving so well. They spend the night playing card and playing Scrabble or whatever as they were doing. We had a very peaceful night. Now, some of them weren't happy. But in any case, that's the person that I talked to him later on, and I said that these things, when we got there, the guy pulled out a huge funnel that he brought so they can pour beer in it and he can drink from it. A long thing like that, they could wrap around his arm. And it was the first thing that he did when we got there. He pulled that thing out in such a... I looked at that thing. And then later I sat down with him, we were back. I said, these things that you do, are they being detrimental to you or are they being beneficial? He said, oh, they're being destructive to me, for sure. It's not that he doesn't know. He thinks his wisdom is still guiding him. Foolishness is knowing that this thing is bad, but somehow thinking you can do it and you'll be all right. That's folly. In short, wisdom is not taking God seriously. When God says don't do this and you say I will do it anyways, you're being foolish. Now, he said, I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under the heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards and made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of trees in them. Now, it's not just bad things that you can try to find satisfaction in. You can try to find fulfillment in work. And that's something else that we've been told here in the United States, that go out, make money, build yourself a house, buy the nice car, and when you're successful and the cash is flowing and you have that huge mansion and so on, then you're going to be happy. And it's false. It's a lie. He did this. He got that. He worked hard. He planted things. Those are good things to do. But he thought that these things will bring pleasure to his heart and will bring satisfaction. It didn't. You see all those people, famous people, wealthy people. Most of them are not happy. That's why some of them commit suicide. Why would somebody who has money and everything going for him kill himself? It's because those things don't give people the fulfillment. They thought that that emptiness in their hearts will be filled if they only went and got something to fill their hearts with by making money and having things. He said, I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I owned more herds and flock than anyone else in Jerusalem before me. He had people around him. He had an entourage. He had people serving him, attending to his needs. And that's another thing that people think, if only I get fame and I can be above people, I can lead them and everybody can be under me, I'll be happy. Read some of these most successful, quote-unquote successful entertainers. Those who have made a lot of money. Those who have been, have gone out and have had people crying and cheering for them all over the world. One of the most popular ones, known around the world. I saw an interview that he gave. They asked him, for so long you never give an interview to anybody. Why was that? He said, oh, those were the saddest days of my life. And you could see that he was sad. He said, well, you travel and everybody's cheering wherever you go. Everybody's trying to impersonate you. What would you be sad? That celebrity doesn't give happiness either. When you get it, you start seeing how fleeting it is. It's only those who don't have it that desire it. Those that are in it know that they need it to keep going, but deep in their heart they know that it doesn't satisfy. I acquired men and women singers, a harem as well, the delight of men's heart. Entertainment. He had people to sing and for him and entertain him, and a harem, all that is, all sorts of women that were there just for him. Carnal pleasures, entertainment doesn't satisfy either. In fact, entertainment, someone said, is the devil's substitute for joy. It's what people do when they have, when they haven't got the joy of the Lord, and so they need to turn on MTV or BET or Hollywood stuff to satisfy them. It's the devil's counterfeit of joy. And he had that. He said, I denied myself nothing that my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Now, there are some people who would like to do this, but there are just some pleasure and things that are too expensive for them. They don't have the money to give themselves whatever they want. But this man in particular could afford it, so he actually tried to do this. And he refused himself nothing. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. But listen to this, verse 11. Yet I surveyed all that my hand had done, and what I had toiled to achieve. Everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. A chasing after the wind. What does that mean? It means that, have you ever tried to gather So you look outside there. There's a wind blowing on those trees out there. Can you try and gather some of that wind and bring it in here? Can you take the wind and keep it? Can you take the wind and take it in your room and somehow your room starts blowing too? You can't. But that's exactly what you do when you feel that emptiness in your heart and you try to chase after the things of the world and material things, people, all these things that this guy that we've gone through here. When you try to take those things to fill your heart with, you'll be chasing after the wind. Because that's exactly what these things are. They're winds. They come and they go, and you can't keep them. They don't have substance. In other words, when you run after that thing, once you grab it, you find that there is nothing in it. That it was empty and shallow inside. It was just an outward thing that attracted you. But when you actually go and you take it, it'll be empty. Now, I heard of a guy who was in church, and he decided, he said, this is a bit too strict, and I can't just believe in God and do all this thing. It's a straitjacket. I want to take a break and just go out and enjoy for a little bit. And so he did. He was part of a very good church. So he went out and tried to start doing stuff. He said, I want to be able to party when I want to, and so on. And he started to go. Weeks later, he ran into the pastor and he told him that I'm so empty. I can't find any pleasure. I'm going after the woman. I'm tired of it. There's nothing in it. And I'm trying to get back to God and I don't know how. And I know many people like that. I know one particular guy that my heart still grieves for, because he came here. And when he came, of all the people that I have met on this campus in particular, he's the person that on his early days I related to. That is, on day one that I met him, he was on fire for Jesus. In fact, I met him at an event that was happening, and it was a Sunday morning. He just came there, grabbed some food, and asked me if I could take him to a church, and I did. But then he joined a certain group of people, started living with them, and then he started to do stuff, running after, doing stuff with his living group, and running after girls, like he said to me later. And one day, a couple of years later, we were in the same class. I saw the guy and I could barely recognize him. You could see that God had left him. The glory of God had departed from him. He was trying to be the clown of the class. I emailed him later and I say, man, you've changed. What happened to you? And he told me, he wrote back and he said that, you know, I have been so running after girls, doing things with my frat, I haven't even given a thought about what Jesus wants to do with my life, want me to do with my life. And he said, I do want to come back to God. It's empty, but I just don't know how. And you could tell that he wasn't happy. When in the class, he was trying to be the clown, but when you talk to him outside and wrote to him email, you could see the emptiness coming out. And he's tried. That's why if you're walking with God, you do want to protect your walk with God. Never put it in your head that you can just walk away and you come back whenever you want. It doesn't work like that. The Bible says in Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. It means that there is a time when you can try to seek him and he will not be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. It's what it says, I believe it's in Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thought. Let him turn to the Lord, who will have mercy on him, and to our God, who will freely pardon. Yes, Isaiah 55 from verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. This is what I talked about on Friday. Wisdom is taking God at his word. God says there is a hole there. Don't go there. The wise person listens to that and say, that hole looks very exciting, but God says it's a hole. So, although it kind of looks exciting, I know if I try to go in there, I'll fall. And I'll have a hard time getting out if I'm still alive after I've dropped inside. The foolish men say, yes, I know that God says it's a hole. And I know that God is right, or I probably know that it's right, but I'm going to go try it anyways, and I'm going to find out for myself. That's foolishness. Be wise. What I'm trying to say is that don't let anybody fool you by the things out there. Those who do it are not happy. They're not enjoying themselves. That's why when you maybe have gone with them and you've tried to do those things, you found that you yourself didn't quite find it as exciting as they said it would be. And you maybe went and it left you empty. That's why it was a chasing after the wind. There is one thing that fills the heart of a man. There's one thing that fills the heart of a woman. It's God. God created your heart so that he can live in it. In the absence of God, that hole will be there. You can try to fill it with money, with a girlfriend or a boyfriend or something else, and that hole will be there, and it will remain, and it will remain until you bow down to God and say, Lord, what I really need, what I've needed all along was you and all these other things. I just thought I needed these other things, but what I really needed was you. And then God will come in and fill you. And then there will be meaning in the other things that you try to do. Then when you work, there will be meaning in your work. Then when you try to help people, there will be meaning in your helping them. Then when you try to The sinful things, you will find that they are indeed foolishness and you should not do them. The good or the neutral things like work and doing all these other things, then those things will make sense. There'll be a purpose and a reason in them. And the purpose was not an idea. It's not a concept. It's God himself. There will be God in the things that you do. Now, this is not theory. This is what I've lived and I've tried. There are times when I was foolish. When I tried to go find the fulfillment in the foolish things. And indeed I found that it was empty. Now don't try to figure out what foolishness I did. It's not probably not what you're thinking about. But I did try some things. They were indeed empty. And I wish I had just taken God at his word. And that's the point that everybody gets at. But you want to get at it sooner than later. some people will only find out when they're dead and they're now then they're in hell. Then they'll find out that indeed they should have listened to God all along. They lived an entire life trying to find something to fulfill them, and they never found anything. They had the pleasures, but they didn't have the joy. They had the pleasure which lasts for a short time, but then they didn't have the lasting joy that comes with walking with God. And then they live an entire life like that, only to find themselves lost. And they tell themselves for eternity, I wish I had listened to God. I wish I had listened and been happy. Now, some people do realize that after they're 50 years old. Some realize it after they're 30 years old. Some, like myself, realized it when I was 10 years old, by the grace of God. At 10 years old, I knew that my heart was empty and I needed God. And He did come into my life at that time. It wasn't religion. I had been going to church. Church doesn't fill the hole. The religious activities do not satisfy either. And that's why many people did grow up in church and they found that there was no point in it, and later they turned away. It's because they tried to replace God by church and by religion. And that doesn't help anyone. That only makes you bitter and hardened against God. It has to be a relationship with Jesus Himself. Now, how do you get that relationship? How does a person get close to God like that? That's another message in itself. But those who want to go near to God will draw near to Him. The Bible says, draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. And what will happen is the closer and closer and closer you get to Jesus, the more and more the things of this world will be meaningless to you. And the more you'll see things the way God sees them, and the more it'll make sense to you that following the Lord is the right thing to do. And the more your heart will be filled by Him and less filled with the other stuff, and the more you'll be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. I will end there. This was a very short message, very simple. Don't be deceived by the mirage. Don't be fooled by the outward appeal of sin and worldliness. It doesn't give what it promises. Amen. Let's pray and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to find contentment in You. Say, Lord, I want to find fulfillment in You. Say, Lord, I want to be fulfilled so that I no longer need to fill my life with all these other things in vain. Let's pray. Our blessed Lord, Father, we pray that we all here will find our fulfillment in You. We pray that we all will find our fulfillment in You. Deliver us from the lie that many have believed, that there is something out there that will satisfy them other than God. And they've run after those things one after the other and have not found the satisfaction. Our blessed Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, not to be deceived. Help us not to be fooled, O God. And help us not to be rebellious either, but to surrender to You and ask You to fill our hearts, O God. Every day, O Lord, may we grow closer to You. May we enjoy the fulfillment and the joy that comes in walking with You, O Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have given us that joy. that when we gave our lives to you, Lord, you came in and things changed. Father, I pray, O God, that we will maintain that walk and never stray away or distance ourselves from it, O God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.